The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the March and April issues of 17 Magazine and Glamour Magazine. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. Well, it's April 12th, middle of April. We are into spring. And I just wanted to welcome you back and hope that everything's going great this spring. Spring reminds us that things are in bloom and our planet is green and we're trying to keep it green and so forth. So I'm going to start off with something from Glamour. It's Glam to Dream Green. With love, beauty, and planet, taking small acts of love toward making our planet cleaner and greener is possible. Slay Earth Day with these simple tips. Be a green queen. It's no secret that our planet is overflowing with plastic waste. Reduce the guilt by choosing bottles made entirely with post-consumer recycled plastic. By Love, Beauty, and Planet. Even the labels have a special adhesive that ensures that they are recycling friendly and come off from the bottles easily. Don't forget to recycle when the products run out. Shorter shower power. If every woman in America cut her shower by 10 seconds, a year's worth of water for 500,000 people could be provided. The lightweight conditioner from Love, Beauty, and Planet contains fast rinse conditioner technology, helping you rinse out the conditioner quicker, meaning shorter showers for you and more water for everyone else. Go easy on the tap. Get pretty purposefully. There's no better place than the shower to get zen. The indulgent fragrances in Love, Beauty, and Planet products are infused with an ethically sourced essential oil or absolute, creating a spa experience in your own bathroom. The collection is infused with natural ingredients like organic coconut oil and sustainable Murumuru butter. Water-free refresh. Enjoy a post-workout glow while saving water and time with Love, Beauty, and Planet Showerless Cleansing Mist. This on-the-go solution is a must for every gym bag and gives you a water-free refresh that leaves you clean and fragrant. And finally, set up and get involved. Take note from activist Jessica Schreiber, founder of Fab Scrap, and get involved in your community. Love, Beauty, and Planet partners with not-for-profit Ashoka to help those passionate for the planet, like Jessica, take their green mission to the next level. An essential member of the Love, Beauty, and Planet tribe, Jessica is leading the eco-charge by upcycling New York City fashion waste into reusable materials. And, well, what else is there? So there is this Love, Beauty, and Planet Nourished Hair, Glowing Skin, and a Little Love for the Planet. Our luscious hair and skin care formulas blended with rose and Murumuru, and that's M-U-R-U. Murumuru butter, revitalize hair and soften your skin. Packing them in bottles made with 100% recycled plastic is just one of the small acts to give a little love to the planet. And it comes in a plastic bottle with a pink label on it with pink roses and green petals, and it's really pretty. All right, well, let's go on from here. So before April gets too far away from us, let's finish up our horoscopes for April. All right, so Aries, if you were born between March 21st and April 19, you are an Aries. Your April horoscope, Mercury will be in retrograde until the middle of the month, making it way too easy to say the wrong thing. Gotta watch your mouth. Taurus, if you're born between April 20th and May 20th, your April horoscope, more than a few cuties will be vying for your attention in April. Like, whoa, by the 29th, one could capture your heart. Gemini, if you were born between May 21st and June 20th, you are a Gemini, and your April horoscope is. In early April, you may legit change your mind about something big you thought you wanted. Listen to your gut. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. On the 29th of April, the full moon will be in your zone of true love, nudging you to see a longtime friend in a brand new light. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. April horoscope, Venus, planet of abundance, shifts on the 1st, putting you in the spotlight until the 30th. This is your moment to shine. All right, Leo's out there, shine. Now, Virgo, if you were born between August 23rd and September 22nd, your April horoscope, you'll snag major props for a job well done near the 25th. You tend to be modest, but you deserve all the gold stars. Own it. Libra, if you were born between September 23rd and October 22nd, your April horoscope, wait for the 17th before making any serious decisions. Until then, Mercury will be MIA and nothing will be as it seems. Scorpio, born between October 23rd and November 21st, your April horoscope, with a sweet assist from Venus, love will bloom after the 1st. By the 29th, you and this hottie might even make it official. Sagittarius, born between November 22nd and December 21st. April horoscope, thanks to the new moon in Aries, a school project threatens to take over your life. Make self-care a priority to offset stress. Capricorn, born December 22nd through January 19. Your April horoscope, an internship opportunity may come up near the full moon on the 31st. Not sure if it's for you? Chat it over with a fave teacher. Stat. And Aquarius, if you were born between January 20th and February 18th, your April horoscope, when Venus moves into Gemini on the 25th, you'll strike up a flirty convo with your crush. Yep, it'll be all kinds of magical. And Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, your April horoscope, your social calendar will kick into overdrive on the 1st, filling up with hot parties, activities, and more. Have a blast. All right. Have any of you ever heard of mise en place or mise en plus in French? Actually, it's not mise en plus. It's mise en place. It means everything in its place. Plus, mise en place. So this article from, it's Glamour, is entitled Everything in Its Place. And this is by Adam Rapoport. He is editor-in-chief from Bon Appetit. Remember back in college when you were trying to write a paper and every 10 minutes you'd get up and take a peek inside your fridge to just, you know, see what's going on in there? Well, as editors at Bon Appetit, we do the same thing, except our fridge is called the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen. and I can't think of a better place to not get my work done. Of course, plenty of people in the kitchen do actual work, namely, the brand's team of food editors, photographers, and stylists. But for folks like me, a sit-in-front-of-your-computer-all-day editor, dipping into the 650-square-foot space on the 35th floor of the World Trade Center is never not a treat. On any given afternoon, I'll spot senior food editor Claire Shaffitz, or Saffitz, hosting a video on, say, how to make warm, glistening cinnamon buns. At the next kitchen island over, her colleague Andy Baragani will be meticulously mincing a pile of herbs. And opposite of him, Chris Morocco will be testing our classic lasagna bolognese recipe for, what, the fifth time? It is because the kitchen is such a fine-tuned machine, with no detail left unattended, no Dutch oven unscrubbed, that the Claires and Andys and Chris's on staff can do their thing. Carla Music, our food director, rides herd on the kitchen team, managing its multi-tiered schedule. Test kitchen manager Brad Leone ensures that the walk-in fridge is always stocked, and Gabby Melian masterfully tackles the day's mountain of pots, plates, and pans. If any of them fails to shoulder his or her load, it all comes tumbling down. As an editor-in-chief who manages a large staff, I'm pretty sure I see the lesson here, that a clean, organized workspace facilitates a more creative work process. To step into the bustling, yet disciplined, test kitchen reminds us deadline-fretting editors that punctuality and passion don't have to be mutually exclusive. And that, oddly, the more structured you are, the more freely you can explore what inspires you. The proof is right there in front of me. And this isn't a lesson that applies only to kitchens. This is the year I am going to give the desk-bound editors of Bon Appetit a more structured environment and establish a cleaner, more streamlined workflow. But before I do, I think I need to walk down to the test kitchen to see what they've been cooking. Boy, that sounds like an awful lot of fun. Okay, our next article is produced by Glamour with Clorox. Healthy starts here. Lauren Kleben is the founder of Lek Fit, and that's all caps L-E-K, and then in lowercase, F-I-T. Lek Fit, a dance-based fitness studio in her Los Angeles home. A wife and mother of two, Kleben reveals how a clean start can help kick off a wellness routine for life. I founded Lek Fit in my home 4 years ago when we turned our garage into a studio. At Lek Fit, we approach fitness holistically and realistically. We have a mix of people who are very fit, but bored with what they're doing and looking for something new. We also have people who haven't worked out in years. In our studio and through online workouts, we make it inclusive for wherever you are in your physical fitness. For a healthy regimen, you need clean, in your life and surroundings. I'm very particular in my studio and in my home about keeping a clean space. When the house is sparkling, it makes me feel better about things that are out of my control. If I'm walking into chaos, then life is even more chaotic. We make sure my studio space is clean for every class since our business is all about health. Whether clients are coming into the first or last class of the day, They're coming into a highly maintained area. Some of our classes are taught barefoot, and I want clients to be comfortable with their shoeless on the studio floor, or while they are shoeless on the studio floor. I'm adamant that the equipment is cleaned throughout the day. People are sweating, which can mean germs being passed around. If we're not washing our hands constantly, someone could catch a cold. We make sure we help keep everyone as healthy as possible. There is a mantra that dancers use in class or in an audition. If you like what you're wearing, you'll perform better. That's across the board for any occupation. And the same concept applies for a space. If it looks good, you'll feel good in it and be at your best. People can achieve the same feeling in their own home by creating a similar environment. There's so much happening in the world, there should be an area in your home that evokes a sense of order. When you feel in control, you feel comfortable, and reaching your workout and wellness goals is that much easier. We have classes available online so you get that class energy even though you're not physically there. We created our workout so you can do it anywhere, whether it be a small New York City apartment or even a hotel room. You just have to dedicate a special space for it. The same goes for meditation or nutrition. Most people find a special area to meditate because a clean, clear space is best for an uncluttered mind. Similarly, I love when I see that someone's refrigerator is clean and super organized. When your veggies are washed, sliced, and labeled in pretty containers, you're more likely to reach for them over the chips. Okay, well, we're going to go on to social media rules for my future boyfriend. This is the April 2018 edition of Glamour. All Jen Dahl wants is a guy without an embarrassing internet presence. She has a few guidelines. A while back, I started seeing a new guy. We were in that fun infatuation stage, and then I looked at his Twitter and found it consisted primarily of Jamba Juice check-ins. It became a joke with my friends. I'm glad Brent, not his real name, is getting his vitamin C. Can Brent pick me up a smoothie next time he hits the juice? And I couldn't get it out of my head. Other problems were becoming clear, too. But was I really going to get serious with the mayor of Jamba Juice? I moved on. Next, dating a man whose posts included mortifyingly basic hashtags like hashtag blue, hashtag sky, hashtag skies, hashtag blue skies, hashtag pictures. I could only imagine how he might hashtag a photo of us with hashtag cute, hashtag couple. Then there was the guy whose tweets were so douchely bro-tastic, think this presidential debate is hella dank, yo, that a male friend intervened. We didn't last 140 days. I know I'm not the only one whose lady boner has been killed by a prospect's Instagram presence. Social media is one of the key ways we show who we are, our faces or avatars, what we care about, who we're friends with. In dating, it's a way to fill in the gaps as we get to know a person. And I believe that online, just as in real life, there are civil, mutually beneficial ways to behave, and then there's checking in at a smoothie place daily. Lest you think you're petty for unmatching someone on Bumble due to their TMI Facebook posts, know this. In the world of dating, you're supposed to be choosy. So, I've grown up with a few rules for any guy I've grown up, listen to me. So I've come up with a few rules for any guy looking to message me. First, be who you are, but don't be terrifying. Also, 1, sliding into my DMs is fine. Just please don't be a creep about it. 2, I know you Googled me just like I Googled you before we met, but let's never acknowledge that. Not even when it comes out that I somehow know you're from Winston-Salem, have a teeny tiny record for breaking and entering, and were in high school a National Merit Scholar. Congrats! 3, don't ask me for a LinkedIn testimonial. I know nothing about your Photoshop skills, so no, I will not endorse them. Also, why are you on my LinkedIn? 4, every time you engage in a political battle on Facebook, my heart dies a little. I'd rather see you Instagram some protest pictures of yourself than watch you bicker with strangers' avatars. 5, please don't ever drug a tiger, be photographed sexily holding a gun, post a bathroom mirror selfie with you pulling up your shirt. We get it, you have abs. 6, you are attempt to tweet in the really chill way youngs speak on the interneds. RN is really just embarrassing AF. Tweet like an adult human. 7, I have eyes, therefore I can see when you like grams from hot 18-year-old women who might also be bots. This is embarrassing for me, but much more for you. 8, if you type would've, that's would, O-F, instead of would have, H-A-V-E, or don't know the difference between your, Y-O-U-R, and your, Y-O-U-apostrophe-R-E, I am not your lady. 9, please abstain from tagging me in any photos unless you have my direct verbal consent, and I'll do the same. At least until we have a DTTR, define the tagging relationship, convo, and we'd be married at that point. And 10, if you become an ex, please unfollow me on all accounts, but continue to sporadically check my feed so you can see how great I'm doing and think about how you lost me, you utter fool. Look, I get that something on my list might be a swipe right for you, and that plenty of dates probably think I'm embarrassing on social media. Hey, one person's turnoff is another person's treasure, and that's okay. I still think I'm hilarious on Twitter. Jindal is the author of Save the Date, The Occasional Mortifications of a Serial Wedding Guest. Okay, in our last article, this is my job. Andrea Bemis, 34, gave up the grind to try to become a farmer. It's pretty clear that worked out. 9 years ago, I was working retail and my husband Taylor was bartending, and we were living in Bend, Oregon, where I'm from. We wanted to do something more fulfilling, so we decided to give farming a try. It was a bit of an impulsive decision. One day after a long hike, we shared a bag of blueberries and thought, what would it be like to grow the food we eat and make that our living? We spent 3 years working on Taylor's family's 60-acre fruit and vegetable farm in Massachusetts to learn the ropes. Taylor didn't know much. And saving up to get our own land. I quickly learned that it doesn't matter if it's pouring or 100 degrees. There are no days off in farming. We later leased some land while working side jobs, and in 2013, we bought 6 acres in Parkdale, Oregon, that we named Tumbleweed Farm. We raise chickens and pigs and sell produce at our farmers market and supply local restaurants. We love our farm, even when she tests us. I wouldn't trade my work boots for any other uniform. On my average day, we're up before 6 a.m., turning on sprinklers and our drip irrigation system, checking on our animals, and looking for any damage to the crops by gopher or deer. On planting days, we'll spend about 6 hours hand-planting thousands of seedlings, lettuce, melons, summer squash, zucchini, kale. I grow in our greenhouses. On a delivery or farmer's market day, we're harvesting veggies to sell or pack up. It's not just a boys' club. Farmers are still primarily older men, but I'm 5'1" and petite, and I get out there and bust my ass, too. I started my farming and cooking blog, Dishing Up the Dirt. So my dad would see me out in the field. He'd never believe I was covered in dirt and always carry a pocket knife. I loved breaking the mold and spreading that kind of girl power. To me, success means bringing healthy food into people's homes. We live a simple life, but we're making way more than at our old jobs, and we eat like kings. That, to me, is so rich. Bemis has a few tips. Find your tribe. Without the support of other small farmers, we wouldn't be where we are now. Seek a community of people you can go to with questions. That support will help you solidify your vision. Learn the ropes. If we had just quit our jobs and bought some land, our farm would have failed. We learned the essentials before we jumped in, including the business side, like how to determine bunch sizes before selling. If you learn as much as you can, then you'll be prepared to get through the hard times. Don't limit yourself. I like creating recipes with our produce, and I published a memoir-style cookbook last year. I've had zero formal training and had never written a book, yet here I am, making food people enjoy. Be open to where your interests lead you, because you'll find new avenues to express them. And there's a really cute picture of the two of them with bunches of carrots and beets and onions, and they're looking at each other. And the quote says, "Taylor and I argue, but we completely rely on each other," says Bemis of her husband. Well, we have come to the end of today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gal, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Make it a great week.